Good morning.
Hey Rob, it's Tyler.
Tyler, how are you?
I'm great, yourself?
Good, good. I figured it might only be you today.
You're right. Kim is out west. She's at the one of like the top advisor deals. And then Trent has a lunch meeting, so you are stuck with me today.
I'm not stuck with you. I like stuff.
How's everything? Are you in Nashville right now?
I'm in Nashville.
How's everything coming along?
Actually, we got our closets done, which was a big relief.
Yeah? What do you guys
So,
have done?
well, closets are fine, but they're never organized properly. So we had California Closets come in and tear out the old closet, put in the new closets. Now they're organized the way I'd like them. So,
Nice.
yeah, and you have a lot more. When you have that done, you have tons of space for stuff, and everything
Sure.
stays organized, and so it's really nice.
Now, I played golf with a guy over the weekend from Nashville, and he told me, this is completely unrelated, by the way, he told me that I guess the mayor just passed something declaring them a sanctuary city.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm pretty, that's what he was telling me. And so he was telling me it was going to have a huge impact on a lot of the business owners and stuff like that down there.
Really?
I didn't know if you had heard anything about that.
No, there were some problems with, there was some pro I didn't hear that, and it wasn't big news. It didn't seem to be a big, important thing, but God, I hope not. This is one of the bastions of liberty here, you know?
Yeah, apparently Nashville Mayor David Brayley calls for Tennessee lawmakers to repeal bill banning sanctuary cities. And I don't know, I guess he did something else too.
Well, I'm not sure it declares a sanctuary city if he
Yeah.
bans it. It just means that it's,
Yep. I don't know. You know, I just heard from the guy I was playing golf with, and he lives
they
down
were
there, so.
just, they were co-op, there was a, there was an issue with them cooperating with the feds on certain immigrants.
Sure.
I forget. Anyway, it's not a big deal. It's always a
Yeah.
bigger deal outside of your area than it is in. You know what that's like, right?
Yep. Well, nice. Well, what else is new for you? Any other updates? It's been a while since we've been able to connect on this call, so
I know.
apologize for that.
Well, I'm interested in how you're doing.
Yeah. It's been a busy
How are you
year.
doing?
A lot of new households. It's been good. It's been good. We're up to 17 new households this year.
Wow.
And we've got a couple more teed up to flow through, so we should be good for really for the rest of the year. It's kind of a, and we hit this a little bit last year as well. You get kind of to a strange point because you start trying to push some households into next year with the way that they have everything kind of set up. You're almost handcuffed if you bring in too many this year.
It's really stupid, isn't
So,
it?
yeah, it's ridiculous. So I've sent it off to management basically saying, you know, if you hit your goals in fourth quarter, whatever you bring in, what's it hurt to count it towards next year? I mean, if anything, the firm's losing 2 months revenue or 3 months revenue on new
Right.
client.
So let me count it for next year, but put it into this year.
Yeah, exactly.
That would only be smart, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, that's the issue, is it makes too much sense. But we got that going, so that, I mean, 17's a great start for the year and some good momentum, so just need to continue to build on it next year. Assets still continue to look really good. I mean, we've just got some really good momentum on all fronts. I mean, the big thing is just trying to figure out from an investment standpoint and a market standpoint, what we need to be doing for current clients right now. you know, there's a lot going on. So,
how many of the 17 new households did you bring in?
11 or 12.
Okay.
Yep, I think 12.
And how much does that represent in terms of assets?
Oh, I think about $12 million.
And what percentage of the total assets is that?
Well, we've got one client, current client, that brought in a ton of money. And so that,
yeah, but
kind
that
of
doesn't
use our
that,
total
yeah,
new
don't,
assets.
Just new, so, new assets from new clients.
Yeah. Assets and liabilities. Well, here, I got to pull up my own tracker because they don't tell me very well. I would guess we're probably up about 25 on the year. So Trent and Kim are bringing in some larger households.
So yours is 12 of 25?
12 of, yeah, that's probably about right. Yep, about half of the assets and about two-thirds or three-quarters of the households. Probably two-thirds of the households, yep.
So how many of those are Kim's and how many are Trent's of the other accounts?
Yeah, let's see. Trent. I'd say they're pretty even. Maybe one more for Kim right now.
No, that's interesting.
But they're pretty darn close, I think.
Okay,
well,
so they do
one,
like
one of, Kim's had some nice flows from just kind of networking and people she stayed in touch with and stuff like that. So that's been nice this year. That's been a nice bump.
So besides besides the net new from new households, what's the total assets? Or is that 25 the total assets?
You mean total new assets this year?
Yep. That would include assets from existing clients.
Yeah. Well, we've had one that's brought in a lot this year.
Like 20 million?
Well, it's like a foundation. And they
yep.
brought in probably 100.
$100 million. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you get paid on it?
Yep. Not a ton, but yeah. I mean, so a lot of it's cash, but we get kind of residual PCs on some of that cash because of the money market that we put it in and things like that.
Yeah.
In fact, they get
nice.
Paid a little bit over 2% on that cash just by sticking it with us. That's pretty tough whenever, you know, your 30-year last week was 1.8%.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
So... yeah, so, I mean, it's been a pretty good year on all fronts. For me now, it's just focusing on, you know, 12 households so far is pretty good. And I could probably land, another handful or so if I really pushed really hard. But
yep.
at this point, for me, it's looking at pushing some of that momentum into next year. And so figuring
That's,
out how to do that without losing the
It's just a little dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah, you definitely got to feel the waters out.
I mean, you can't – I mean – if somebody should be opening and doing, you should be opening and doing, right?
Yeah. Yep. Well, and if somebody calls us and wants to move forward, we're definitely not telling them no.
Right.
But if they're not returning calls, we're not chasing them down, you know, to call us back this week either.
Roger.
So,
this is pretty early in the year to be shutting down, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't want to say shutting down. You know, we're not going to, like, 18 is the firm goal for us. We're not going to stop
yep.
at 18. You know, we'll probably get to 20 or so. And
okay.
and I guess it just depends. You know, if we're at 20 and we have a really good opportunity that comes along, like Trent's got one right now that's he's probably worth 10 to 15 million.
You don't care.
No. And he called Trent back the other day and wants to start moving forward on some of that. You know, yeah, we could care less.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand. It's just annoying is what it is.
Yes. It's very inefficient.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah. But it's been good. I'm trying right now. I'm spending a lot of time on my Series 9 and 10 because I got to pass that next year. I'm going to take some of that off Kim's table, off Kim's plate, and I'll be the branch office manager down here next year.
Oh, wow.
So I got through the 9, so now I'm trying to take the I'm studying for the 10 right now, so I'll have to take that sometime shortly.
So you actually need an RM? You need a resident manager or something there?
A resident director, yeah. So the rule is anywhere that has three or more advisors has to have someone that has a Series 9-10 in that office.
Nice. Now, does that take time, though? You have to go to meetings and crap?
Not really. I mean, there will be some stuff I have to do, like the current market executive. I think she likes to do weekly or biweekly calls, just kind of catching up on things and metrics and things like that. But
yep.
They do a really good job of, you know, most of the operations stuff they don't really let us do.
Yep.
So it's kind of more just a title and a compliance thing.
Are you going to try and hire anybody else?
I don't know. We'll see. I think we'd like to. We just have, you know, we brought in Brooke. She's a new CA on the team.
Yep.
She's been great. She came from Chase. She is awesome.
Really?
Yeah, she's really, really good.
What makes her so good?
Well, she's already got some background in the business. So, you know, like on the banking side, so when it comes to like FTS or any of the banking stuff, it's like done. We don't have to explain it. She already knows how to do it. It's good to go. She's great with client service, and she's used to, in like in the bank model, people come in nonstop all day long. And so with our business, it's so much easier for her because she knows, you know, who's calling or when a scheduled call is or whatever that. And she's just really proactive, and it's just been great. It's been really, really good so far. And we've got Sam as well that we're getting up to speed. And, you know, so just with two new folks, you know, I don't think we'll bring in anybody new in the next year, maybe 18 months. But out beyond that, I think anything's fair game. It's just kind of playing it by ear right now.
You wouldn't bring in somebody that wasn't on your team.
I think if we did that, it would be more of a CTP acquisition, somebody that's wanting to step away, and then kind of absorbing those clients into our model, just because right now we're so efficient.
I see.
Or the other option would be bringing in like a PMD, what was that program called back in the day? Like the trainee program. When
right.
You're a market exec, what they call that?
Whatever. They change
yeah.
it so many times.
Oh, my God. Yeah, now it's FADP, and I was TFA. And I equate it to, you know, you get somebody new that's ahead of that, and it's like a dog. They got to pee all over it and mark their territory, and so they just change
oh,
the
yeah,
name.
Oh, yeah, change the name. That's with Supernova.
Yeah.
They had to change the name of Supernova just as soon as I left.
Yeah, unbelievable. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's definitely a possibility. There's a couple senior advisors that I've talked to about CTP opportunities. And it's just I got kind of ahead of the ball, which is good. But it'll just take some time to develop and see how those run the course.
Anybody I know? Or
probably, yeah. I mean, I think Matt Burton, do you know him?
Yeah.
Yep. He's a pretty big producer. He's
That's
gonna
so
probably
funny.
Be he's probably gonna be in the next 7 years or so.
Yep.
But me and him have hit it off and we work on a few clients together.
Well, that's nice. He was a trainee, you know.
Yep. He's done a great job, and I go to some meetings with him as well, and I just try to share some clients with him from a prospecting standpoint just to kind of foster that and just keep
yep.
a good contact. I think David Ball will probably be in the next few years. And,
he's got to be 65.
Yeah, he's probably right around there. And he
yep.
and Trent have a pretty good relationship there, too. He teamed with some folks that it just hasn't worked out. And so
he's never going to be anything but David Baugh.
Yep.
But if he, and I think, you know, you don't make a partner out of him, you buy his book.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I think with the relationship that he and Trent have, that could be a great, you know, legacy play. You know, we're up to $800 million assets under management. And
wow.
So any of these acquisitions would get us, you know, $1.25 billion, $1.5 billion. That gets you a lot of attention. All of a sudden you're a pretty big player in the state, and that's when I think people start reaching out to you.
Right. Well, and the firm also gives you a lot of respect.
Sure.
And, you know, these stupid moves by people to leave the firm, you know, they don't get it.
Yeah.
Just,
I mean,
if you're patient enough, you know, you end up with $1 billion of assets.
Yeah.
It's not a bad deal.
Did you know Bo Barrett and Martin Rice?
Yeah. Yep.
So can you believe they only transferred, like, they transferred less than 40% of their book? That's a killer.
I don't know. Well, how much of Carl Evans's daughter's book did they move?
So last I heard was they moved 68%, and they needed 70 to break even.
Break
so
even,
kind of like,
how do you mean?
On the buyout and all the goals that were given to them and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I just can't imagine that she would have that much power over Carl's book.
Yeah, there's some issues going on there too. I would not be shocked if they kind of reneged on that and came back.
Because,
well, just kind of knowing, so Lizzie's husband joined their team as well.
Oh, wow.
And Lizzie's husband is a, like a alternative investment attorney, basically.
Yeah.
And their relationship is extremely dysfunctional. Just seeing them converse before they started working together.
You mean between husband and wife?
Yes. So I can't imagine that working together now on top of that. And I've also heard that their CAs are not very happy. It just hasn't been as smooth as they had hoped. So
my question, can they do everything there? I mean, I couldn't leave. I mean, I wouldn't leave because, you know, an FA decided to leave because
yeah.
I'm too integrated into the firm.
Could you imagine trying to move all of your stuff?
It's just too much. It's too many tentacles.
Oh, it'd be a nightmare.
Right. I mean, what if they couldn't do the lending that you guys do? And what if they couldn't do the, you know, all the different things?
Well, think about all your accounts. All of your accounts.
Right. And the bill payer and the this and the that and... You know, it's hard enough when you change credit cards.
Yeah. How do you justify to a client it's in their best interest? That's the issue, I think.
Well, it can't be, right? I mean, it's less. I mean, who do you sue when Tom Bucks runs off with your money or something?
Yeah.
Who do you sue? You sue a firm that doesn't really have any assets?
Yeah. Yep, because here's the other issue with the firm is they don't have, you're right, they don't have assets. So when they're recruiting, they're not paying advisors to come over. They're giving equity in the firm.
Right.
So now you've got all these advisors, and if you get one bad egg, your equity goes to zero.
Right, because if it had been Tom Buck and he got 5 years and your brand got destroyed because of it, you're part of that.
Exactly.
So it's a huge risk, you know, versus what's the gain? I mean, how much more are you really going to make?
Yeah,
I don't know.
And that's the issue, is they're doing it solely be, based on the payout. I mean, there's no...
Right. They want more money, income.
Yeah. It's interesting, too. I think if it's not already in place, I think FINRA is now, when you move, you have to disclose your compensation for moving.
To your clients.
Yes. If that's not in place already, it's coming.
Right. And they should, because it's, you know, they always say, oh, it's better research or it's better this or that. Well, that's bullshit. You know, it's money. It's all about the money.
I've kept some clients because I've basically just been candid with them and told them this is, you know, they're going to tell you they moved because of X, Y, and Z, but at the end of the day, they got a check for somewhere around X dollars, and that's why they moved.
Right.
You know, so.
So are they?
Know.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
I just can't understand. As hard as it is to acquire new households in this business, I just can't understand why you would move firms and know that you're going to lose.
Well, when you didn't bring them in, you don't value them.
That's true.
You think it'll be just easy to do. When you bring them all in, then you understand how valuable they are.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, if you bring them all in, your chances of moving them are really good.
Yeah,
if you don't bring you don't bring them in. Carl brings them in, took care of them for all those years, and then you want to move them?
Mm-hmm.
It just seems so wrong.
Yeah. Well, and I think I heard some clients complain because they said they were just getting used to talking to Lizzie. And now, you know, they're moving again. And
right.
So it's just tough. I don't know. We'll see. I wish them the best. I like them a lot as people, but I don't know if they made the best decision.
I just couldn't understand it. It was just for the money. But why do you need the money that much when she was doing great, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. She had it all. It was all working for her.
Why do you need the payday at that age?
Yeah, well, a lot of folks are frustrated right now with Merrill because of the new, like, 3% rule. I don't know if you're familiar with any of this stuff. So last year, Merrill started keeping 3% of our PCs just right off the top.
For what?
They said that advisor compensation grew faster than revenue.
So did they defer it, or did they just steal it?
No, it's just gone.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What?
So they did cap it at, they keep 3% at a cap of 4,000 PCs a month. So it's like if you're like $1.5 million producer or something, or $1 million producer, it's a little bit less than 3% because it caps at 4,000 PCs a month. But otherwise, they keep 3%. And then you get paid, you know, your grid on whatever's left, the remaining 97%. So I think
that
you've seen some frustration around that.
So it's not a lot of money. It's just a pain in the ass, and it's a indignity.
Exactly. Exactly. The most anybody in the firm is losing is 48,000 PCs a year. So you're talking, you know, $20,000 to $25,000 a year.
Right. It's
so,
not that. It's a tax.
Yep.
They tax. Taxation
yep.
without representation.
Exactly. And then the other frustration I think you're getting is around the whole growth grid thing, where if you're not acquiring and growing, they cut your comp as well.
Right.
You know, so I think you're seeing some frustration around that because some of the more senior advisors, they were fine before when they were not acquiring and they were just taking a 2% cut. That's fine. They can make it work. But all of a sudden with the 3% that Merrill's keeping, it looks like 5%. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
So I think you're just seeing some frustration around that. But I think everybody everybody in the business, you're just seeing that compression everywhere.
Yeah. But, I mean, you're there and collect, you know, you're smart. You sit there back and you collect the dividends of the problems, right?
Yep. Well, we used to. Now that we're downtown, we're excluded from that because we're technically in a different office.
Okay.
You might
use your political influence as a leader to fix that.
I would like to, and that's where some of Matt Burton's clients and mine have come from, honestly, is he could care less about the inherited clients that he gets unless they're mega clients. So if they're under $5 million, he just throws them to me, and I'll call them and try to retain them, and we run with it.
You're kidding.
No.
That's a riot. He was just a kid.
So it's not, you know, he's got a heck of a book. I mean, he's a $2.5 million producer now.
Wow.
So he does great. But, yeah, I mean, I would like to. The issue with that is in that world, you had so many lawsuits because advisors kept saying that management was favoring certain advisors. And, you know, so it's
right.
Like incredibly scrutinized when they disseminate
right.
Those accounts.
But why, because you're in a different office in the same city, should you be excluded?
Sure. And that'll definitely be a point of reference.
Yeah.
I think their explanation would probably be because we have the bank and we get all the referrals from the bank down here.
Well, then exclude the bank accounts.
Yeah, which has accounted to diddly squat, really.
I mean, right. That's how many have you gotten from the bank?
Oh, my God. None.
Okay. Report that every month.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's in charge now, Kim?
Of our office? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I want you to start taking over responsibilities under her name. And I want you to start sending a report to management exactly what is happening.
Yeah.
Every month.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my thought was just I'm going to start having, you know, on our weekly calls next year, I'll bring it up every chance I get.
No, I want you to start now.
Okay.
Okay, and all I want you to do is report facts and figures.
Sure.
And I want it in writing. Every week. She has a call every week, right?
I think so. I'll have to check on that. It seems like a lot of them get rescheduled, so maybe it's supposed to be like a monthly call. I'll have to check on that.
All right. Whatever it is, if it's every two
yeah.
weeks, I want to report every 2 weeks. If it's every month. If it's every week, it's every week.
Sure.
And all I want you to do is give them what you just gave me. Okay. Net new assets, the whole thing. They have them, but you want to know that they have them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want you to tell them what you're getting from the bank. How many introductions, how many accounts have become accounts?
Sure.
Okay, just like your spreadsheet?
Yep.
You don't have to go to all that trouble because it probably isn't enough to bother with it. If you want to, you want to do a spreadsheet on it, great. Do it officially. It might mean
it.
That you end up getting more introductions because of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you send it to them and send it to your boss. Now, you send it under Kim's name, and you tell Kim what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But you start it now. And the purpose is to get introductions from the home office.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be included in the reassignments because you're not getting shit down there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really reasonable. I mean, I don't know what the leeway is.
It's not an indictment of the bank. It's just facing, you know, it's just dealing with reality.
Yeah.
The purpose of this was to be, you know, a networking with the bank, and the bank is serving its function. We're serving our function, but it is not working in terms of introduction.
Sure.
Because they're not sending us anybody because they don't care or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so it'll do two things. One, wake up the bank. Number two, it will wake up home office to send you introductions, because you guys will keep the accounts.
Yeah, seriously. Absolutely.
The other thing you want to do is you want to keep a spreadsheet of accounts given and accounts retained.
So they know our closing rate, what we keep.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So if they reassign people to you, you keep them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Perfect.
I'm just teaching you politics here.
No, I hear you.
Look, it's a really hard job that your manager has, all right, your resident director.
Yeah.
She's got a tough job. She's got no support, and everybody is basically wanting something from her. They're not out to get her, but they're not supportive either. So you be the support team.
No, we can definitely do that. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and then when she gets an introduction, which she will get, you're the ones that she calls.
Mm-hmm.
How many introductions has she given you so far this year?
Oh, boy. When one advisor left, we had a client that was a friend of their client, and then that new client specifically requested us, so she had to give it to us. But outside of that, none.
Right. So the question is, who is she giving them to?
Yeah.
What boards is she on? What is her networking? What is she producing in terms of introductions? And where are they going?
Mm-hmm.
And are you using her as a center of influence?
Yeah, we haven't really been using her. So that's on us. I mean, just to kind of push for those introductions as well.
It's absolutely on you. Who's doing a better job, been more loyal, gives better service than you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, who?
Nobody.
Even close?
I can't imagine.
Not even close, right? So if she's got somebody that's a friend, or a CEO, or something that she knows, that she meets, why wouldn't she give them to you? And is it because she's not thinking about you?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I never thought about you guys. John Spafford used to come to me all the time. In fact, he sat down with Marcia and I on the train when we were going to from Istanbul to someplace, and hammered Marcia on introductions.
Huh, really?
And got a list of five and opened, I think, three of the five.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, we can definitely be better.
I mean, everybody that's in a position of authority knows people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, you would hope.
They do. So anyway, that's your new center of influence. And Kim should be doing that.
Yeah.
She should be friends with her. She should be friends with her. Take her to lunch and support her and listen to her and get introductions from her.
Yeah. That's definitely an area we can push really hard, especially going into next year when we start needing to rack those up again.
Right. I mean, when you get in charge, you can teach her how to do her job as a center of influence too. Have her read my book, The Supernova Multiplier. Learn how to.
It's interesting. Is I just talked this morning to the FADPs or the PMDs, whatever you want to call them, and we're kind of talking about our service model. And she basically just came out and said, yeah, there was a market executive that used to be an indie that came out with the Supernova. You can get his book and everything. So I was kind of surprised that she mentioned that. But, yeah, it was she's aware.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's getting out there.
I just had a call. I get these weird random calls from people. A guy in New York, or Alex Brown, read my book, loved it. Read The Multiplier, loved it. I'm forming a new team. I got to hire you as my coach. It's just weird, random stuff, you know.
That's good.
But I'd like to help you guys, you know, always have. But, you know, help the home team, but, you know, they don't think of me. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. That'd be something else we can push.
Well, at least read, you know, get them to read the three books. I mean, as part of their training.
Yeah.
You know, Supernova Advisor, The Multiplier, and the team book. They plan on being in the business for a career, they should suck every morsel out of a brain like, you know, that's been in the business for 45 years. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you sound like it's good. I'm excited about the opportunity to even, you know, try the leadership thing. It's neat.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully it doesn't take too much time from acquisition. You know,
if you do it right, it will enhance it.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. I would agree. I think it could be really good. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's kind of the long-term plan, right? Is, you know, Kim's going to be in the business for who knows how many more years? Probably a while still, but it's kind of the next legacy play just to have that box checked.
Right.
So.
And, you know, you're really good at this, and hopefully Samantha's really good at this. And, you know, you guys, it's very comforting from a client point of view to have you guys there knowing that there's a legacy, you know. It's not, because people always worry, what's going to happen when Kim retires, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What happens when Trent retires? And so to have that box checked that we've taken care of that is very helpful.
Yeah, and it's important to have some years ahead to go ahead and start solidifying that transition.
Now, one of the things that you guys aren't doing that you should do is you should refresh your financial planning, okay? For somebody like, and I can only tell you because of me,
mm-hmm.
You should either update the plan or run a new plan or whatever. Even though we're on top of every piece of it, there's not the kind of step back and formally rethink the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Absolutely.
And I mean, and I think you don't do it because there's no obvious source of income from doing it. But I think from a fiduciary responsibility, it's sort of one of those things that you don't really always know where it's going to lead you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might just uncover something.
You might just uncover something. You know, I've got some life insurance policies and things that I just really haven't been looked at in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them are in my foundation now or in my dynasty trust, and those I probably wouldn't touch, but I mean, just little ones here and there. And Christopher's going to have a child, and I'm going to need to give some money for, you know, college education for her coming up August 6th or thereabout. So, you know, that's a little something. So there's always something. And I don't really know what my net worth is right now. So running a net worth statement would be interesting, and then checking that against our planning for taxes and so forth, and how are we doing on our, you know, we've got the different trusts that are set up that are maturing, the real estate trust and then the trust for the kids, you know. So it's just one of those things that probably would be a box that if I had, if I was going to add something to Supernova as a, you know, 1242, I'd probably do 1242-1 and mm-hmm. say, you know, every 3 years run a new financial plan. Or at least every 5 years. Right?
Yeah, no, I think that's great. Things
don't you think that, I mean, it's just one of those things that's what we do versus what other people do. Because once they do a plan, they never update it.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that versus them. So it gives you that, but if you don't put it down, then you won't do it either, you know. So we're all the same. We're all, you know, pleasure seekers who are trying to avoid work.
I love it.
And the reality, if we could advertise that we update financial plans every 5 years at the minimum, that would at least give us something that other people don't advertise.
Yeah, especially on the high net worth side.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think you can talk that over with your team, but I think it's a marketing opportunity. Now, what the number is, how often you do it, you know, we're updating it. We're updating it every year, and we're redoing it every 5 years. Seems like a reasonable thing, because you guys are always looking at it and thinking about it and doing
it. That doesn't mean you're aware of that, yeah.
But you're not marketing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not marketing it. You're, you know, 1242 rapid response to problems in a financial plan is great, but with a rapid response, we've defined it, right? Rapid response. 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution. Financial planning, we haven't defined it. Everybody gets a plan. When do we renew it, and when do we update it? You know, when do we run a new plan, and when do we update it? We don't have that defined. That's probably a problem with Supernova.
Yeah, we need it quantifiable, yeah.
Yeah. What does 1242 mean? And then we've added the fact that every client gets an agenda and every client gets an executive summary. And that's quantifiable. So when you go into a meeting to sell Supernova and to sell you, use that. never have a meeting when you describe what you do without describing exactly what you do. An agenda. A meeting. An executive summary. Rapid response. What does that mean? 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. Financial planning. We do a plan. We update it through the 1242 process. We implement it through the 1242 process. We update it every year and we redo it every 5 years.
Yeah, that's good. I anything in this business, it's getting harder and harder to find differentiators.
Right.
And so I think that's big. I agree.
It's a hole.
Mm-hmm.
You want to fill every hole. And then you guys are better because of it, right?
Absolutely.
And since you've got Brooke now, you've got the team. Work on the 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. Make sure everybody's saying that. Because
mm-hmm.
in reality, you do it. You don't have to fear that. Don't fear that. Embrace it. All I tell people is, well, what happens if I can't do it? You tell them. That's all. This is going to take a week. What's the difference? Person
yeah,
knows
the
it's
resolution
take...
just they need to know what the timeline looks like and that we're working on it.
Right, and then you call them back and tell them it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Marsha likes Nashville more than Indianapolis because people call her and tell her. They call her and tell her the status of what's going on. She likes the service people here.
Mm-hmm.
I asked her why. She says, because they call me and tell me where they are, what's going on, when they're going to arrive. They arrive on time. Is the service better? No. Is the price
clearer.
Better? No. It's the communications that's better. What does that cost? Nothing. Okay.
I love it. Yeah, we got some homework.
Well, I just, you know, we're always trying to take it to the next level, and it's not expensive. You don't have to spend another $50,000 on marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're already doing it. You're already doing this stuff in terms of financial planning. You're just not getting any credit for it.
Yeah, I think we can definitely do a better job of communicating exactly what we're doing.
Right. You're not getting credit for what you're doing. Never give anonymously.
I love that.
Yeah, it's just, look, people don't know unless you tell them. Fee compression, right? Everybody wants something for nothing. But when they realize you're giving them all this extra, then they go, fine. It's worth the money.
Yep.
Okay, so revisit the model. And let's put, you know, we used to talk about buying bonds. And we'd want, what was it called? We'd want... definitions. We'd want something in definition. We'd want maturity in definition. Is that right? Would that be correct?
I'm not sure.
When you want instead of buying a bond fund that never came due, you'd want.
Oh yeah. You want some sort of termination, some sort of end.
Right. We'd want maturity and definition or something like that. Anyway, so this, what we want is maturity and definition. We want definition of what it is that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to describe it exactly. And then you say, how does that compare to what you're getting now? And
I think if you can get to that description, it's a done deal.
Right. How would you describe the service model that you're getting now?
Well, they're good guys, and they do a nice job for me.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. Let me tell you what we do. How does that compare to what you're getting? Wow. That's amazing. How are you able to do that? Well, we're only able to do it because we limit the number of clients that we work with. We're taking on 7 new families this year. We'd like you to be one of them.
Yeah. People are blown away when I tell them how many households we work with. They just can't, you know, people can't believe it.
So, okay, so there are a couple good ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got some homework, you know, across the book and for you as well. So
here's the answer. Tyler, I learn as much from you when I'm coaching you as you learn from me. So when you're working with Brooke or you're working with Samantha and you're teaching them, always know that you're going to learn from them because of their questions, because of your mind is trying to educate them. You're going to get better at what you do. So when you're working with your manager, your resident director, you're teaching, she's teaching you, but you're teaching her too. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the teaching process with good students isn't one directional.
No, I like that. Got to have open ears.
As a coach, you need to have open ears. I'm learning. I learned today, right? I learned a couple of things. I learned that we don't have enough definition around the planning process. We can gain marketing power through that. All we do is define what we're already doing.
Some kind of concept there, huh? It's the simple ones that are always the best.
Yeah, we just get credit for what we're already doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thanks.
I will. Did you guys record this, or do you want me to pass most of this on?
It's recorded.
Okay.
So you know, I would pass it on because they won't listen to it.
That's fair enough. I'll make sure they get it.
Yeah, if they want to listen to it on the way home as a podcast or something, great. But the other thing is what I'm asking my new students to do is to listen to the Supernova Multiplier once a day for 5 days, each chapter. Once a day for 5 days, each chapter. And then write down questions, and then we'll have a worthwhile conversation because you'll know the material.
Okay.
It's working. The average person needs to hear an idea 5 times. And when you're really going to adopt an idea as a salesperson, it probably takes you 8 times. And different people learn different ways. So the audio version is a super way to learn. So try it, see what you get. What will happen is when you listen to it for the 4th or 5th time, you'll stop listening to it, but it will stimulate your creative thinking, and you'll come up with some other idea.
Yeah, it'll still stick, yeah.
It'll stick. Something will come out of it that will be of benefit to you, and it'll put you in the right place mentally coming to work. You'll be all excited about a new idea, somebody to call, something to do. So it's a very healthy thing to do for the rest of your career. So listen to
all three books, you know, every day for the rest of, you know, the next 3 years. And you'll be a supernova genius. And then you'll be able to teach me what I need to do.
Come on.
No. You'd be surprised. Because you're doing it. See, you're the lab. I'm out here. You're in the lab, man. You can teach me. Rob, I tried this. This is what happened. This worked better than this.
Mm-hmm.
That goes in the new book. That goes in the new book. I can't do it. I'm not sitting there. As a manager, I'd have you all doing this. I'd be making you do it. Then I'd make you go out and try it. And then I'd put my lab coat on and figure out what worked best. I can't do that as well here. So I gotta encourage you to do it.
Love it. Well, it's working. Yeah. It's working for us. Well, we just gotta keep our foot on the pedal.
Well, do it. You know, that's listening to the tapes is hitting balls. Okay. So go out to the range and hit balls on the way to work, on the way home. Listen to the books. Okay?
Absolutely.
Good, Tyler. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks, Rob.